Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given on another night of forgiveness to us the tawfiq, the ability to do such an amal, such an action, which is very, very beloved to Allah, and which has been ordered. The Quran is filled with instructions and orders that Allah Ta'ala has given to us for us to do His dhikr. This is Allah's blessings and karam, His mercy and His gift upon mankind, upon His servants. Every moment an individual, a human being, the servant should in the court of Allah be humble and sincere and should do dua to Allah that Allah allow me to do good deeds. Because life is temporary, it is short, we have a certain amount of breaths that we will breathe, and we should encourage ourselves, push ourselves, and put together the luggage for the hereafter that will be useful for us in the hereafter. There are two types of accounts, one is the deficit and one is the profit. Yeah, one is a loss, a minus, one is a positive. Every businessman looks on these accounts. You look at the balance sheet. Is this business in the deficit or in a gain? At the end of the year, we see how much deficit. Was there any deficit or was there a profit? It's called profit-loss account. Simple. Gain and loss. So our account will also be made in the hereafter, each and every one of us. And when we will look at the balance sheet, how much profit did I earn or how much deficit have I lost? How much have I lost? Just like the businessman, when there's a loss on the balance sheet, then he's distressed, he's upset, debts increase, he has to repay the loans, the shop or the business goes downhill. Even the people who have Iman, I'm speaking about them, they have fikr and worry that how will we repay these funds. So in the same way, when the accounts are made for the hereafter, then the accountant of the hereafter, we have the two angels who are filling in our account sheets, kirama and katibin, and Allah has given them the strength to make the accounts. It's an ajeeb, unique strength. So brothers, this will be our hal, or should be our hal, our condition, that we are benefiting, but we are so, you can say, laid back that we don't accrue for thereafter. Every breath is being counted, everything, right, left, movement is being counted, recorded, deficit, loss, gain, benefit, profit. But we don't have yaqeen in these points. I speak about myself, that the account that is being made, the two angels that are recording the deeds, and this is iman, part of iman, that kiram and katibin are with us, and alhamdulillah, I'm speaking and my book of deeds is being filled and you are listening and your book of deeds is being filled. It's not that we are silent, nothing's happening. No, their qalam, their pens are nurani, that the heart absorbs the nuraniyat. So here, whatever I'm saying, straightway make niyyah, intention, I'm going to do this, inshallah. Then you will go into profit. Whether you do it or not is another matter. The angels will say, he's made intention. So will you do this? Inshallah. Good intention is a good deed. Don't be afraid of this. Because if a person's afraid of intention, then he is a foolish person. That free of charge reward. If I say to you, for example, from morning I'm going to pray tahajjud. What was your niyyah? I'm going to pray tahajjud. Inshallah. Not, it's too difficult for me, etc. No, never say this. Never. Whatever word is reaching to you from Allah Ta'ala, I will do this inshallah. Why won't I do it? And if it's your fadl, Allah, I will do it. And if you, for example, say something good to somebody else, okay, everybody's going to pray 10 rak'ah nafil and sleep. Don't say no, say inshallah, I'm going to do it. Allah Ta'ala has delivered this news to me, and if I don't do it, that's another point. But at least I've made attention and it's recorded that I did a good deed. That's it. Just a minor. How Allah Ta'ala has given us tariqahs and methods. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the points I will continue to say, keep on making niyyah and intention. That's it. Will you do it? Will we practice? Inshallah, let's continue. So the first, I'd like to take your test. Your test. That how capable students are you for me? Can I take your test? Okay, fine. I'll ask you the questions, you need to give the answers. Okay? Ready, everybody? Okay, right, let's continue. So a man, why does a man drown? Why does a person drown? Why? You don't know the answer? Okay, I'll tell you the answer. That person drowns who doesn't know how to float. Isn't it, Haji Sahib? Person like me will go into the water, and probably after 3 minutes, then there will be bubbles coming up from the bottom, because the person doesn't know how to float. The person who doesn't know how to float will drown. Yes, so who is the person who burns in the fire? The person who doesn't consider that fire will harm, isn't it? The fire is burning. The person who knows this fire, he'll stay away from the fire and avoid it. Who gets wet in the rain? Obviously, that person who doesn't leave home with the umbrella, isn't it? Isn't this the case? He hasn't taken the precautionary measures, like the umbrella, to protect and shield from the rain. So if there's no umbrella, no shield, then you'll get wet. So we realize this is true. Drown, that person will drown who doesn't know how to float, tread water. And burn, well, that person will burn who doesn't know how to ward himself off from fire, stay away from fire. And the person will be wet who doesn't take the umbrella when he goes out in the rain. So who will commit the sins? What is a sin? Who will commit the sins? What's the answer to this? If you don't know the answer, then we have failed. That person has failed. This means that we are living a life which is useless, wasteful. If I realize today that a person who drowns is that person who doesn't know how to tread water, then what will I do? I'll learn to tread water and float. Now if I ask you a question, that who commits the sins? Who commits the sins? Who? Very easy question, because sinning is the worst of all actions. If we don't even know what is a sin and why do we sin, then if I am a human being and I don't know this, then what security do I have for the hereafter, for the future? Do you understand my question? You don't? Yeah? I'll give you some examples before that. So does it not come into your mind? Does anybody know why we commit the sins? It's sad to say. Look. We are making intentions as we're going along, aren't we, that we're going to do all the good actions? Yes? Okay. So if we don't know what is a sin, the definition, how to leave it, the sin is such a bad thing, my friends. It's so dangerous. There's no bigger danger than committing a sin. Now, you can take sins amassing the height of mountains or the vastness of the oceans or the amount of wind in the world, the vastness and the breadth. But even if you sin a speck, like a speck of dust, everything is evil. The same. What is it? Everything is severe. Why? Because a sin which is a speck of dust, if it's attached to my body, then it will become a big barrier and a wall for me in the hereafter, and I will not be able to progress to safety and reward. One sin, the amount of a speck of dust. Speck of dust. So sin is a very big thing. If I sin the amount equivalent to a speck of dust, an atom's weight of a sin, when I lie, I say, it's okay, no problem. If I look at the females, I say, no problem. Yeah? And if I have a list, forget the big list of sins, forget the lengthy list of sins, the major sins for us are not even equivalent to a mosquito in weight and magnitude, but one speck of dust, an atom's weight of sin, will not let us go into paradise. It will become a big wall for us, and we will not be able to go into Jannah. How? How will we get into Jannah? No. So, it doesn't matter how many amal we do, but the sins will not allow us to progress into paradise. Because Jannah is a pure place, and sin is impure. Impure. So if sin is dangerous, severe, impure, and we are piling up the sins, amassing them, because we don't know, why am I sinning? What is the reason I'm sinning? What's the root cause behind me sinning? Why do I sin? What's the reason for this? What are the fundamental reasons behind me sinning? If I know the reasons, then I'll succeed. That I will leave the sins and I'll stay away from them. But I don't care. I have no care. Astaghfirullah. I don't even think. We don't even think that, why am I sinning? Or is this a sin? Do I care if it's a sin? Does it really matter? We say, oh, it doesn't count. We don't pay attention. Oh, leave it. This is not a sin. It's okay. It's all right. Even an atom's weight of sin will destroy our hereafter. Allah said in the Quran, Allah has filled the Quran with events. Qawmi Thamud, Qawmi Ad, Fir'aun, his people, what he did. And Qawmi Nuh, the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, Qawmi Lut, and Qawmi Shu'aib. And why did Allah Ta'ala have to give us the events, the historical facts? Because there's a reason behind every event. Yes, there is a cause and an effect. Allah Ta'ala said, look what they did, the cause, and look at the effect that took place after their actions. Thamud, the people of Thamud, when Allah destroyed them, Allah has mentioned, defined, explained that when I am displeased with the human being, when he earns my displeasure, because obviously they had iman in a Nabi, just like we have an iman in Rasulullah. Allah Ta'ala says, when I dislike a human being, my creation, so much, to such an extent, I dislike that human being, that person, because that person who eats from what I've given and takes from what I've given, then he disobeys me, she disobeys me. Allah Ta'ala said, I gave that person life, gave him sustenance, and that same person stands and disobeys me. He dares, she dares, they live on the earth that I created, Allah Ta'ala says, and they openly challenge me in sin. Think. Allah Ta'ala says that the Quran is not a storybook. It's coming to us as a learning, giving us examples of the past. Allah says, think, what happened to the people of Thamud, who considered that nothing could happen to us, blatantly we can sin, we are saved, we were big, they were strong personalities, they had qualities. Even today, if you go and see the buildings in Jordan, Thamud, Ad, the people of Ad, the buildings they created in the mountains, they carved out structures, solid. What did they have? They had strength, they had minds, technologies, Allah said, but they earned my displeasure. Then I took them to such a punishment. They shrieked, they screamed. Imagine, they must be more powerful than thousands and hundreds of thousands of, you can say, things that create destruction today. Explosions. But Allah said that not one was saved. Not one stayed alive. What happened to the people of Ad? Allah said that such a wind, a breeze was sent. Allah said, I sent a storm. A storm. What an example, Allah says. That after a little while, 7 days and nights, Allah said that storm, that wind came like a typhoon. We read the Quran, don't we? We think the Quran was revealed. Let's pray. Taraweeh, end of story. The Quran has been completed. Look at the qualities of the Quran. Look at the events in the Quran. Why did Allah Ta'ala reveal the Quran, send it to us? What's Allah Ta'ala telling us about sin? Allah is describing sins to us. Big, massive events. Allah says, foolish people, wake up. Wake up. Pull yourselves together. That you consider that sins are a minor. Ad, the people of Ad, 7 days and nights, Allah Ta'ala said, I punished them in this unique way. May Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. That if the earth shakes and electricity is cut and the ceilings cave in and a storm comes in, if it's minus 40 degrees temperature, cold, no water, nothing, tell me what would be our hal, condition. How long would we live for after that? Does it take long? Tell me. Allah Ta'ala says that, does it take long for me to send the destruction? Can I not give you the effect of the cause because of your sins? Allah Ta'ala said, after 7 days and nights, when I removed those same people, that they were stubborn, just like the branches that fall off the tree on the ground, they were lying down, every single man and woman who was there. Not one was left. So what earned Allah Ta'ala's displeasure at that time? Tell me, what was the reason? Allah forgive, Tawbah. What is the hal? Previous Jummah, I remember our Hafiz, Idris Sahib, who comes and announces on the Jummah day, and Allah Ta'ala's message, look, Allah Ta'ala, his mind, it turned, he was pious, he came in and he came to announce, and forget the announcement, in his hand the mic, he was looking at it, and it changed the direction from his mouth, the points and the words that came out, they were reality. He said, today is Jummah, Friday, and this is a masjid, we're in the biggest masjid in Bolton. You were probably there, and when he spoke, mentioned this. And he said, here at this time, Allah, Allah, he said, why should the adab not come on us? These were his words that I'm repeating to you, repeating. Imagine, Bolton, he said, this is. From morning, from Fajr, the announcement has been made that dhikr of Allah will take place here. That dhikr, that the whole Quran is filled with Allah Ta'ala instructing us, do my dhikr here, the same people present, listening. And then, what can be the reason, brothers, that earns destruction? He said, Allah Ta'ala, does he see that a person's got to make a building, he's got businesses, he's got houses, let him live? Allah is khabir and basir. Allah says, no, Allah looks at the condition of homes, our wife, children, what are they doing at the time of salah, what is the practice on the deen, how much haram is in our homes, our noful actions, how many bad actions, how much disobedience amassed in our homes, amassed. Think. Says, do you think that we'll be saved by reciting dua kunut? Salah kunut? Tell me, will we be saved by reciting Fajr Salah Dua Kunut Nazala? Let's take this out. What ajeeb points. Read the Quran, tells us something else, a reality of what we are doing, and our lifestyles are total opposite. Allah Ta'ala is saying that I made the hal that they were lying down like the dry dead branches on the ground from the date palms. Allah Ta'ala said an ajeeb point in the Quran. For Asura Sula Rabbihim. Allah Ta'ala said, that what did they do? Allah Ta'ala said, I stopped at this point. Now all of this that they did before and what I did after, Allah says, further I'll tell you about Fir'aun and other nations. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll tell you the main reason. What was the reason? Why was I displeased with these people? Why was I unhappy with these people? Why was I angry with these people? These people were the beloveds. They were followers of my Nabi, and I mentioned the name and made the name lofty until Qawm Thamud, Aad, people speak about Fir'aun, Bani Israel. Said, Allah Ta'ala gave them something, didn't he? What was their crime? Allah said, فَعَسُورَ رَسُولُ رَبِّهِمْ. That Allah Ta'ala said, what did they do? Their biggest crime that they committed, which caused my jalal and anger, that Allah Ta'ala said, I did not leave them alive on the earth. And what was the reason? Is that what action did they commit? That when my Rasul, when my messenger who came to them, I sent my Rasuls, my messengers, my prophets, this was my blessing and favor for these people, for guidance. And they disobeyed the Nabi, the Rasul, the Prophet that was sent to them. They didn't listen to the Prophet. Imagine that if Allah says, I'm sending my Rasul, and they're disobeying. They're not listening. They're rejecting. Tell me, what more can the Quran say after this? Brothers, can there be any more thing more severe than this? Today's the night of Jum'ah. Think, let's go into the depths of our hearts and let's think about our graves, Hashr, resurrection, our deeds. What will we do on that day? One crime, one sin. Allah says that I have sent the Nabi and you don't listen to the Nabi. You don't obey him. Who is Allah Ta'ala speaking about? Those prophets, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, I'll give them as examples, that we are the ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and those nations before us, those prophets, they're nothing compared to our Nabi. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is Imamul Anbiya, the Imam of the Prophets. He is Habibullah, Shafiul Muslimin. He is Muqami Mahmud, Subhanallah. He is the Sahabi Mi'raj, he went on the Mi'raj, the ascension to the heavens. Is there anyone who can compare any Nabi, any Prophet? No. He is the Fakhri Mawjudat. He is the pride of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah is such that wherever he was, where Rasulullah is laying today in his grave, that portion of soil touching his blessed body is more precious and more lofty and greater than the arsh. That place where Rasulullah's blessed body is touching, that soil is more valuable than the arsh. And Allah is saying the Anbiya, that when their followers, their ummatis, did not obey their Nabi, Allah said, I became angry. The Nabi says, come and pray Salah, come and do this. We don't listen. Allah Ta'ala says, you have no haq, no right that you live on the earth. And not just like this, Allah Ta'ala said that they just passed away. Allah said, I told you the method. 7 days and nights the storm came. Such a breeze, such a wind. Allah said, what did I do? Then my jalal, my adab that came to them. No one was left standing. Oh ho ho. Now just for a little while, let's imagine, contemplate that how much do we obey the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That's it. How much do we obey Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Everything we do in our lives, A to Z, as Rasulullah Sallam told us to do this, let's say answer from our iman. Where's this return? It's too hard in this day and age. We have to follow the times. We're here, we're in this country, XYZ. Think for a moment. We don't know about haram, halal, unlawful, lawful. Women don't know about haya, modesty, parda. We don't know about relatives, the rights, the manners for the parents, respect for the elders, love for the youngsters. The wife doesn't know about the rights of the husband. The husband doesn't know the rights for the wife. The children don't know the rights of the people around them. We are living the lives of animals. That is there one part of our life where we are emulating and obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah has given his example sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was their hal, the previous nations. What will happen to you? Allah Ta'ala is saying, am I right, am I wrong? Tell me, my friends, tell me. That is this something, this is not talking about sects and groups and divisions, general words of the Quran I'm speaking about. General prescription of the Quran. So the previous nations and the previous ummahs, Allah Ta'ala said that when they disobeyed, when their nabis would explain to them, summun bukmun umyun, they didn't understand. Listen, they used to laugh and mock their nabi, astaghfirullah. They used to joke and jest. But Allah, when He grabs, it's firm. It's firm. Look here, this crime. What crime? This is the sin, the ultimate sin. This is what we define as sin. To reject the Nabi. Do you understand the definition of sin? That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to disobey him, the hukams, the orders he gave us, instructions, if they're not being implemented in our lives, yani one time is such, the Rasulullah ordered that do this, and we oppose that hukam. We oppose that order. Rasulullah said, earn like this. And we earn opposite to that. Allah's Habib said, that do this with this person. And we go against that. Rasulullah is saying, live like this, treat people like this, and we oppose that. That there's no part of our life or second of our life that we can do what we want. No. Allah Ta'ala has instructed us every second of life, every breath, every moment, every hour, every day, whatever is it, whatever you're doing has to be in accordance with the lifestyle of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Stop. I'm angry with my children. He's disobedient. I'm going to break his neck. Astaghfirullah. No. Stop. Is this me? Did my Nabi, my Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he instruct and guide me to do at this moment in time? What did he say? If you're angry with your wife, severe, why is she not praying? She's not doing this. No, you got sharan. Then why does she not do parda? Why is she not observing parda? Stop for that moment and then ask a mufti that this is what's happening. I'm angry at that time. How should I respond? What should I do? Alhamdulillah, the masala. From the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, we will see the action, how he did things, and we'll follow the sunnah. And divorces will end, and there will be no more divorces, and the sharia and the sunnah will be implemented, and Rasulullah Sallallahu's guidance will come to us that do this at this time. We have to think, was your thinking, my thinking should be the thinking of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This should be our life. This should be our life, second by second. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on our ulema, scholars, muftiyan, may he send thousands and millions of blessings, the work of the deen they are doing to guide us and shed light on the issues that the muftis and the scholars, they shed light. They give us the guidance of Rasulullah s.a.w., our Prophet Muhammad, what was his sunnah, what was his lifestyle. They've categorized his life into sections and headings. They've distributed the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w., that subhanallah, that no part, look at the karam and the mercy that those ulama ikram, the scholars, how they, mashallah, practice the sunnah in a great way. They told us about sunnah al-huda, sunnah al-zawaj, and different categories of sunnah, sunnah mu'akkada, ghair mu'akkada, mustahib, and brilliant categorization. This is sunnah adiyah, this is sunnah zawaj, this is sunnah al-huda. Ulama ikram, the respected scholars, why? May it not be. Think for a moment. Why? What's the point here that comes out? Hazrat Mufti Mulana Mahmud al-Hassan Rahmatullahi, great sheikh, great scholar. And according to Hazrat Ashraf Ali Thanwi, he said that he was, as I was explaining a few days ago, he was sheikh al-Arab wal-Ajam. He wasn't just the Sheikh ul Hind. He was the Sheikh of not just Hind, Indian subcontinent. He was the Sheikh of the Arab and Ajam, of all the people in the world. And what a beautiful point. He said that it's weird or unique that we have categorized the sunnahs so that you practice the sunnah. So you understand the rights of the actions that, oh, we leave our sunnah, I don't need to do this. Rather, the categorization of the sunnahs and the different levels of the sunnah have been made, not for this reason that you say, oh, I don't need to do this, I'll leave this and I can leave this. No. So that we can understand the levels. This mustahib, I need to do this in this way. This is the emphasis on this action. This is wajib, essential. This is mustahib, I need to do this at certain times. Just like fard, this is compulsory, this is wajib. So the sunnahs that have been categorized and distributed to us, that this was the blessed practice of Rasulullah ﷺ. Sunnah's wahid. He always used to practice this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at different times, at different days. So some are, mashallah, things are done consistently, regularly, daily, and others maybe not so much daily. So there's so much barakah in every sunnah of Rasulullah that you should not leave even one of them. This is what the scholars write and guide us. Do you understand? This is what Hazrat wrote. So we shouldn't leave an action. This is mustahab. We can leave. The sunnah is such an action that is nur ala nur, light upon light. This is mustahib, do this action. If it's ghair muakkada, do this action. Whatever category the sunnah falls in and has been defined under, then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah said that the categories were made so that we can practice it. No, this is not necessarily, I can leave this and this is necessary and I'll do this. We've gone backwards. The ulema, the respectful scholars, made effort, extreme effort, to distribute the understanding of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to us so we can do amal on the sunnahs. Rather, we've taken in the opposite way and left so many of them today. Because everything in the life has to be done in accordance to Rasulullah's life. If we leave his guidance, then we will disobey. And if we disobey, we will sin. And we will make such a sin being practiced from our lives, Allah Ta'ala said that my Nabi gave you hukam and you're leaving it with a qawm like this. Allah Ta'ala says, then I treat them in such a way just like I did the qawm of Ad. That's the sin. That's the result of sin. At this moment, on top of that, we don't know that why do we sin. On top of all of this we just discussed, we don't know why do we sin. So I ask you the question again. I repeat the question again to you. Think now. Why do we sin? Ultimately, I gave you the example. Why does a person drown? What will you say? Doesn't know how to tread water. If he knows how to tread water, won't drown. Won't drown. Isn't it? So a person drowns when he doesn't know how to float or swim or tread water. If he's learned to swim or tread water, he will not drown. Why does a person burn in the fire? Because he hasn't saved himself from the heat, the fire. If he had saved himself and taken precautionary measures, would have been saved. Why does a person get wet in the rain? Why is their body wet in the rain? Because a person's not protecting himself. No umbrella. If he took the umbrella, the protection and the shield, then he'd be protected from the rain, from the wet effect. So why does a person sin? Shall I tell you why? Shall I tell you why? You're making the niyyah to leave sin? What a big point I'm going to explain to you. Listen carefully. Why does a person sin? If we realize that we are sinning for this reason, just like we know about rain, and we're doing that action, then what will be the sin? No, we will not sin then, will we? Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So if we know the root cause of why we sin, and we want to then leave the sins, we will not sin eventually. So if we realize why do we sin all the time, and we put the brakes on, and we stop, for this reason I'm sinning, we take all of the root cause, then will I sin? No, there will be no sin. So shall I tell you? You make the niyyah, have you made the niyyah, the intention to leave sin? There can be no bigger point than this, no bigger nukta than this in life. Listen carefully. First I give you the examples that will be saved from that effect, like the Thamud and Ad people. We will be saved from that calamity and that eventuality and that consequence. We'll be saved from sins. And if we obey Rasulullah, then that's it. If we do in our life all the actions in accordance with Rasulullah's guidance and orders, then we have no issues. Do you not understand what I'm saying? So recite the Rushif once. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala li Sayyidina Mawlana. Look, brothers, why does a person sin? Let me explain to you. Like as I said, person drowns because he doesn't know how to tread, swim, doesn't know how to. Why is he burnt? Because he doesn't save himself from fire. Why does he get wet in rain? Because there's no umbrella. So, why does a person sin? A person sins for this reason, that the human being has forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it, there's no other reason. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Why does a person sin? Who commits a sin? That individual who has forgotten Allah. It can never be that a human being is remembering Allah or has remembered Allah and he commits a sin. These are two opposite things. Impossible. Hadith. Zina. When a person is doing zina, committing adultery, a person can commit adultery from the eyes, from the hands, from the tongue. These are all categories of zina. When a person commits zina, adultery, fornication, then in hadith it said it's a sin. And when he is doing that sin, iman is not inside that person. It's hovering above that person. May Allah not allow, if that person dies in that state and he's not repented, then he will leave without iman. Doesn't matter how great a gathering you are in, how many people come for the janazah, Allah's rules have been made. When a person is doing the sin at the time, then that he's lost iman at that time. Iman is hovering around him. He is out of the state of iman and he is free from the noor of iman. So whenever an individual commits a sin, remember, if I'm lying, committing fraud, deceit, fighting, quarreling, if I am breaking the order of Rasulullah at that time, it will happen at that time when I've forgotten Allah, when I've forgotten Al-Hajji Sahib. Very important point, isn't it? That when a person is being invited to sin, then consider I've forgotten Allah at that time when I'm sinning. Because it cannot be that I remember Allah and I sin in parallel. No. No. So then, so what did the person who treaded water, when he was drowning, he learned to tread water, he saved. When he was burning in the fire, he knew what was fire, the quality of fire, he saved himself from fire. And the person who took the umbrella was saved from the wet water. So if we want to be saved from sins, we should do dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah, remember Allah. What should we do? Remember Allah. Say it again. Remember Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا لَا كَثِيرًا لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Isn't it? Have I not given you the dalil? Yes, I have. So, Allah's Nabi said that, listen to me, obey me. Listen to what I'm saying, what I'm telling you, remember Allah. Remember Allah in abundance. Allah's Nabi said this to us. So why don't you listen to what I'm saying? If you were to listen to me, okay, we can say one thing. That we are bashar human beings and human being is prone to sin and there's too much risk. And that's the definition of human being, because a human being can say, no, this is fine. There's a cure for this, isn't there? That dhikr will take you out of two conditions. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has educated us. There's two things. One, when you do dhikr of Allah, when you remember Allah, that the dhikr of Allah will prevent you from sinning. It will create a wall, a barrier, and it will reduce you being prone to sin. Your shahwat, lust, will reduce. The same woman, the same human being, when he stands, drinks alcohol, he runs after women, commits wrong actions, immoral actions, new women every time will be with him. When he starts doing dhikr of Allah, then he runs from those same women and goes far from them. Tell me, is there any bigger cure in the world than this? Not one. Thousands of human beings I've seen, experienced, who've taken the cure, whose days and nights were alcohol and women. They didn't do anything else. No wazifa, no recitation, no chilla, no days and nights and months. The Quran prescribes he's doing sin because he's forgotten Allah. So what you do? Remind him who Allah is and make him remember Allah. Subhanallah. And if, do I do any other action, my friends? Do I tell you read this much Quran, this many juz, that many wazifas? No, I say do one action. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Remember Allah in abundance if you want to attain success. It cannot be the cure that Allah and His Rasul have prescribed that we can then not leave sin if we do that action. What's a woman? What's alcohol? What's attraction and lust? These are things that are negligible. If we are not with Allah, if we've forgotten Allah, then we'll be like animals, worse than the animals living on the earth's crust. We, astaghfirullah, then lust that goes towards the women. Our women, our mothers and sisters, even the father will start this action because he's worse than the animals. Even the father, I can show you examples that the sister of the wife has come. He's left his wife and married the sister-in-law. She says, I called my sister around, invited her. And you made me think this is bad what I'm saying. It's bad because the noor of dhikr has come into our hearts. Ask that person. He says, no, what difference does it make if I do this? So what? Can I leave her? Why? So what if I left her? I liked it. It happens in the world. You know, this is attraction and fondness. That's why I did this. But Allah Ta'ala says, no, because he's forgotten me. A person's consuming alcohol, intoxicating, doing immoral actions, impure actions. He's enjoying life so cool. Yeah, you say, what's wrong with this? It's water, yaar. It's just a drink. Enjoy. Drink, eat and be merry, we say. But you will sweat if I tell you to do this. Why? Because you've done dhikr. The noor of dhikr is in your heart. So we know it's a sin. So let's ask that same person who used to do this sin or is doing this sin now. The person who committed these sins before. At that time when you said to him, what are you doing? You used to slap him. He didn't listen to his father, his mother, his uncle, his grandmother. Oh, get away. Don't tell me. I'll leave home. I'll do this. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. There are examples in front of our own eyes. But when Allah Ta'ala's fadl and blessings and mercy comes to that person, and subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has instilled the love of his mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that person's heart. Because without mahbub, first Allah makes that person an ashik of who? Of that person, Rasulullah, who is the ashik of Allah. Ah, Allah says that we should ask the dua that Allah give us your love and the love of those who have your love in their hearts. So Allah Ta'ala said, no, I don't give you direct connection. No, when you become the slave and the love of my habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I give you his ishq first. The love of Rasulullah, such love, the standing, sitting, wherever you are, everything in your mind, you won't worry about your mother, your wife, their rules, principles. First will be the principles of Mahbub of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First that will come. That is the love that comes. My brothers, that happened to me. It happened to me, alhamdulillah. I met a darvesh, a wali Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us such love in our hearts as a result of good company. And I'm so grateful to Allah Ta'ala. You gave me such great company that I met a darvesh. He was sitting and he had nothing to give or take. He was 18, 19 years old. He was daif, weak. And you gave me the love of my sheikh, the great sheikh, my hazrat. And I left everything. My father's looking for me. My mother cooked after years. I went home. They said, we're waiting for you. Dinner time. The servants are looking for me. And they're waiting. And I'm disappeared. Where am I? I'm the company of my teacher. And I said, leave it. In the night, middle of the night, my father telling me off, what's wrong with you? Where have you gone? You've left the dunya. You're sitting there all the time now in that masjid. After years, you've come to us. You don't sit with us. You don't talk to us. You don't give us time. I said, this is such an ishqa love. I cannot give you the answer. This is just coming to my heart. I'm forced to now go in the company. May Allah Ta'ala give you ishq like this for somebody as well. You are young yet. Inshallah, look out and love somebody who's a good person. And Allah creates that opportunity. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran in Surah Mumtahinna that Allah Ta'ala sends the person to the pious people. Have you seen this? So Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, Allah's remembrance. What is the effect of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr? The effect is what? That number one, when you remember Allah, it will reduce your desire to sin. Your lust will reduce, your passion for sinning will reduce. The more dhikr you do, the more you will suppress the desire to sin. It will go down, down, down. And that person, when nur and iman comes into the heart, it replaces the lust and the desire to sin. He looks at it as in a bad way. No, no, I don't want to watch TV today. Bad things on the screen. Why go to that waste of time place? So I'm committing sins of darkness. I swear by Allah that the people, they change women. They adorn the burqa. The barrier comes into life. They cannot imagine that before this sister, did she have this haya and modesty? It's a miracle that takes place. Miracles. What examples can I give to you? There's so many, unlimited. There are so many sisters who have the picture in their purse. They say, I swear by Allah that this was what I was before. They tell us I was like this, but when I met a sheikh, a teacher, then I became like this. Subhanallah. You also become like this, sister or a person. I can demonstrate to you, give you the examples. The women, the sister do tabligh like this. Waqi. Most definitely. One sister, until today I remember, 30, 40 years I was stood at my shop. She came to my shop. I was amazed that there are women like this. Ajeeb labas, she had weird attire. She looked very not correct, for example. And I'm there sitting, Maulvi, and I'm thinking, Allah, that is this a Muslim? Is she a Muslim? What a woman is this? And she had the makeup, adorned herself, make herself look attractive. And I was looking, and I saw that. I said, Allah. Ajeeb situation. What situation she's brought upon her in her life. And she is your creation. If I said to her, what are you doing? You don't pray salah. What's this appearance you've made? And then she may not respond. She may not be interested. And I'm telling you the truth. This is what happened in life. Subhanallah. A learning for us all. After some days, she came back to my shop. And she said, how much is this? And how much is that? Etc. Yes. She was in the dunya. Lost in the dunya. I said, okay, inshallah. I did dua to Allah, that Allah, I gave her a little bit of da'wah, invitation to the deen. And mashallah, she improved for the good. She observed parda and she became a muttaqi, fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. In a home, there's Quran and ilm and knowledge. Every child is an alim, hafiz. Subhanallah, I said, Allah, this is your shan, your glory. Why? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعْلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ That gave her dhikr. I instructed her to dhikr. I prescribed dhikr to her. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says to us. Do dhikr. If you're standing in the alcohol off license, stand, learn, do my dhikr. Allah says, and you'll improve the better. If the words have come, Rasulullah's blessed voice, that whoever does the dhikr will listen. Rasulullah's blessed statement, whichever woman or man does the dhikr of Allah, and she or he does the dhikr of Allah, they will walk laughing into paradise, laughing and smiling. What a massive statement. And we have to believe in this. We have to bring this physically into our lives. So, shahawat, we need to suppress. And the second thing, what does dhikr do? Is that when a person commits sins, of course, we're human beings, we could lie, we do wrong, we fall down again, we stumble. Allah says, when you do dhikr, two effects will take place. Number one, your shahawat, your desire for sin will reduce, be suppressed. And secondly, the sins that you did commit mistakenly, it will wipe them, clean them, purify them. If you take the tasbih and do dhikr, then your sins will be removed and purified at that time. Just like here, you've come to this majlis. Me and you have come. Subhanallah. And just after a few minutes, soon as we're free from dhikr, we will leave here like angels, clean and pure. Why? Because we'll take both roads. You will feel that many days you will have felt, I should do this, I should do that. You feel like this, don't you? You can feel the effects, the good effects of the halqa, and you want to get lighter, you want to remove the sins, you want to do tawbah. This is the effect of dhikr. Or is this me? Is this some magic spell? No. Am I an amil? Am I an exorcist? Jinn master? No. I've said those words, the message that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us. Subhanallah. This is not about a sect or a group, no argument. Just one thing I say, come, do the dhikr of Allah and Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, we should implement it. We should imitate it. Don't leave one sunnah wajib, mustahab, sunnah mu'akkada, ghayr mu'akkada. Never beware, never purposely leave the sunnah, or let's leave these two sunnah, it's too nafal, it's mustahab. Never, never. My husband said to me, what is this game, drama? That 90 years I am, until today I've never left the nafal actions. Why? Because I'm afraid that if when I am presented in the court of Allah, I am a khawf, I fear that my deeds will be lacked, that all my salah will be in deficit, I will not be able to fulfill the right of salah. Then I'll present my nafal, that Allah, look at my voluntary actions, my nafal salah, my nafal actions. And the pious predecessors have said that definitely at that time when Allah will balance the scales, because fard is massive. Our fard are low quality, not acceptable maybe. So Allah will say that he practiced the sunnah, he prayed sunnah, and he came for ishraq, and he did this action. Isha Salah, 4 sunnah before Isha, he prayed. Asr, 4 sunnah before, and he'd pray afterwards as well. And that we could have said, oh, it's not wajib, it's not sunnah muakkadah. But he measured every action, said that every sunnah was waiting for him, that wherever there's a deficit in hereafter, then he will present the deed, and Allah will make up for the deeds on the scale. And if we don't have anything to present, then how will we balance the deeds? So, Hazrat used to give an example. It was a rural example, you could say, so-called rural example. Hazrat said, tell me, Hazrat used to say, that tell me that when you go, for example, you understand, when you have to go and pay the tax or the dues to the collector, yeah, for example, land tax, land dues. So Hazrat said that the landowner, Jatta, tell me that when you go to pay the land tax and the dues, do you take all money, the whole amount? He says, no. Why? I keep a bit extra. There may be a little will come out on top extra. May not be. That if you ask me for more, what will I do? So at least I take the minimum amount, but I take a little bit more on top of that in case I need to fulfill at that time. So as I said, same way, when you go to the court of Allah, you will take fard, the compulsory, but take some nafal, some extra amount on top, so you can make up for the loss. Subhanallah, what a gathering. Everyone started to cry. They said, Hazrat, after today we promise we will not leave the Nafal Salah. We will not. So, do you understand what I'm saying? As I'm explaining to you, are you making niyyah and intention? Subhanallah, all of you? Good, good. And it looks that the 2 Nafal I will leave after Isha, maybe that 2 Nafal would make me succeed after. Is it necessary to pray these 2 Nafal? This is a big issue today. Everything is important. Is there anything that's not important or not necessary? Tell me. Have you ever asked that, shall I eat the food, shall I eat the meat or not when I'm eating this dish? Have you ever asked anyone? Or when I eat pilau rice, shall I eat the chicken leg? Do I need to eat the chicken leg? Do you ever ask this when you're eating? No. Rather you look in the dawat, where's that chicken leg? Why isn't he put it in the tray of rice? Why hasn't he put this dish here? Why haven't they made this dish? Because to fill the stomach, Hazrat said that to fill our stomachs, we will not leave anything. All we need is one chapati and yogurt. That's enough to fill the stomach. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this is our desires. It's our ego and desires that also is not the stomach. So when the ruh becomes alive with the dhikr of Allah, just like the stomach demands chicken legs, when the ruh becomes alive, the spirit, then what does the stomach of the ruh? It says, nafal, tahajjud, pray this, pray that, do this, do that. Subhanallah. It doesn't let you sleep, the ruh. It doesn't let you sleep. Doesn't let you become idle. Just like when a mother wants to put the child to sleep and he cries, give me milk. Then she slaps the child, and then his mother, Allah has given the love to the mother. Then she sacrifices her sleep, and the children are crying in your house. When there were children born, you will have seen children getting up, growing up, and your eyes, you're rubbing, the husband's angry. Oh, you should help me. The mother says, you don't help me as well. Because the child, when he's hungry, is asking 2 a.m. When the child wakes up, give. 1:30 a.m., give. Happens, isn't it? Children, they wake up in the night. So the ruh, when the nur comes into the ruh says, get up. Do dhikr, get up, recite Quran, get up, pray tahajjud, and become a person. That person becomes a dhakir, he prays tahajjud regularly and becomes pious. Have you not seen this, how zikr is, results in these actions, Mawlana Sahib? Will we leave dhikr after today? No. So it's our job, our task, that if you have a sheikh, a teacher, guide, the wazifa, the prescription is given to you, that's enough for you. This is kathir dhikr. So easy, simple. So go to a sheikh and introduce yourself, give me muamalat, give me a prescription of dhikr daily, and when he's given it to you, that's it. And do that regularly for the rest of your life, end of story, success will be attained. Don't leave that. Listen to his instructions, follow his guidance, you'll be successful. And no sheikh will you find, a true sheikh, who says, just do dhikr all the time, leave work, leave the taxi, leave your wife, leave your occupation. No, sheikh, your teacher will give you such a dhikr prescription, you'll be able to do dhikr with ease, and it will put nur into your life. But we're not even regular in this. Oh, no, I'm lazy, as a sahab, taweez, give me everybody. I said, give sheets. Nobody submits the sheets. Nobody. Whose loss is this? Whose loss? Yes, when you meet Hazrat, smile, Hazrat, I'm trying. Okay, please tell me what dhikr you told me to do. I feel like slapping that person hard. Hard slap on the face. Hazrat, tell me, where should we start dhikr again from? I promise from today. Then they'll come again. He'll come after 2 years, after 1 year. What's the situation? Hazrat, I'm thinking, shall I start doing dhikr? I should start sometime, shouldn't I? Tell me. Is this life? We've made life a game. A joke. We commit sins. We don't tire of sinning. Tell me. As long as we don't practice after listening. So the order of dhikr comes, the instruction of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala is ordering, do my dhikr, and we listen and we don't want to do it. 10 hours you listen, hadith, instructions, announcements, but we don't practice, our hal is such that sin. That for example, as soon as we leave the masjid, we'll commit sins again. Then we'll come, Allah, give me Jannah, Allah, I'm asking for paradise, Allah, save me from hell, Ya Allah, give me Jannah. After that, we'll laugh and cry. Will Jannah come like this? Where will Jannah come like this automatically? Tell me. How? Does Jannah come from du'as? From just prayers? From amal, action. Every hour you try, we get tired in Ramadan, and Taraweeh is a less amount of time, such valuable nights we have in Ramadan, and the odd nights in the last 10 nights, the night of amal for hours, we're doing du'as upon end. Oh, servants of Allah, do du'a at that time when your du'a should tell you automatically. Du'a is inviting you, do amal, do action. We don't do amal, we just think, oh Allah, we cry a bit, Allah, give me paradise, Allah, give me Jannah, Allah, save me from hellfire, give me Jannah. What kind of asking is this? Until today, nobody has ever earned Jannah like this. If Allah wants without asking, He'll give. Yes, the doors of Jannah will be open to us without asking, no doubt. But Allah has made a law, a principle, a rule, sunnat-e ilahi, that if you do not practice, then you will not get. If you don't do action, you will not earn. If you don't earn, we cannot succeed. Allah gives an example. Allah says, this is my power and strength that I can give a child if you want. When there wasn't even a father, there was not a mother, and I created man. Allah says, I can also allow the child to be born. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That there's no father. There's no father. Allah Ta'ala says, I can allow the child to be born. Isa alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala has given us examples. Father, no mother. Even then, it could occur there was no father, mother. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So, Allah Ta'ala, if He wills, He can allow everything to occur. But Allah says, this is not my law, my rules, that if you follow my sunnah, the methodology, take all of the means, do amal, and after amal, do dua, all of the doors, 8 doors of paradise will be open for you. But just from du'as and crying, this will not give success. Now you've heard, I've heard today, we've discussed, from today, stand firm, make intention, this is the method for Jannah. That this is what I need to do to leave sins. And if sins are attached to me, Allah has given the example in the Quran, Thamud and Ad, at any time we could be grabbed, and no wazifa will save us at that time. Then at that time, doesn't matter, you can cry, pray tahajjud, do sujood, become mad, and do du'as, and cry to Allah, go to amils, and magicians, and peers, and from everywhere you'll be pushed. Why? Because when Allah, our Rabb, is displeased, then you will not get success from any other route. Today we have to please Allah. We have time today. We have time. Let's collect our sins together and say, Allah, forgive us. Allah, forgive us. We want to do what Rasulullah SAW has ordered us and guided us to do from top to bottom. A to Z, every breath of our life will be in the same way. Our parents, lifestyle, business, children, wife, everything straightforward. Go to an alim you consider as practicing. Okay, you don't consider everybody an alim, but your heart will feel good with a certain scholar who is bashara, good, pious. Ask him, is it necessary to keep the beard? Not go to a thief who himself does no amal. Then what will he guide you to? What will he guide to? Who is just an empty hollow box of an ashik of Rasulullah. Every action, he'll look at benefit and pros and cons. No. Yeah. With the fadalwal, is this some way of life where we go to hollowness? No. So go to a pious person and he'll tell you how severe is this a sin? How is it a sin to listen to the music? And is it a sin to stay in life without parda? Without observing haya, hijab, and consuming interest, is it haram? And list the name of interest is a big sin. And to make friendship with interest, and to eat at the person's house who consumes interest is a big sin. These are all sins. So promise, let's promise with the fadl of Allah, that Allah has given us that amal. That's why I'm telling you that we should promise that inshallah, on our bodies and our lives, we will not allow one sin to come. We will not allow, persevere through one sin. Let's promise inshallah. Allah Ta'ala has given us dhikr, is remembrance. Then how can on my body a sin remain? Sin. How can it? Whenever we sin, we think, oh, I'm sinning, straight away start doing the dhikr of Allah. Straight away. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. These are ajeeb points that we are discussing, my brothers. So what we need to do is take the dhikr of Allah with steadfastness, go to the friend of Allah, wali of Allah, and learn that what is the way of doing dhikr, the method, the tartib, however he prescribes and explains the method, then let's be regular in that. Don't play games with it. Don't play games and deceive the amount you've been told to do. Do that for the rest of your life, this amount of tasbih you have to do. Inshallah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has promised that we will walk into paradise laughing and smiling. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Ameen. recite Durood Sharif.